I'm not surprised by the resistance. I think this is the time, and there's been so many different times where there's been so many times for movements, whether it's in the 60s, you know, doing World War II or doing Vietnam or doing all these different times, you know, civil rights movements and all these movements. And I think this is a time where people are coming to the agreement that we all just human beings and we all part of the system and it takes all of us to grow. So the resistance to trying to divide us, no, I'm not surprised in it. I'm actually encouraged and I'm just happy that everybody's starting to come together and have that full circle.
That's NFL star Michael Bennett. He plays defensive end for the Seattle Seahawks, speaking to us from Honolulu, Hawaii. Michael Bennett recently pulled out of an Israeli government-sponsored trip to Israel for NFL players. That does it for our broadcast. Marks now produced by Mike Burke, Carla Wills, Laura Gattis, Dina Guzder, Sam Alkoff, Robbie Karen, Honey Masood, Sharina Nadura, Andre Lewis. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks so much for joining us.
I'm Jack Lessenberry.
Well, he might be. I'm not. I'm Jake Koronek, and I'm here, and we will hear from Jack Lessenberry later in the hour. This is the new WHFR Journal. It's going to be starting in a second after I tell you that you're listening to WHFR Dearborn from Henry Ford Community College, formerly Henry Ford Dearborn now. And, yes, we're live in the studio. So, heads up, here comes local news and alternative views. Hello and welcome to the start of our February 24th edition of the new WHFR Journal. It's new because it's not the same as last week. My name is Jay Koronek, station advisor here at WHFR.fm, and I'm joined in the studio today by our WHFR news and sports director, John Conroy. Welcome, John.
Thank you, Jay. It's good to be here.
So how was the, in your sports, with the sports hat on, how was the, what was the outcome of our game? Let's see, it's still basketball. And how did the Hawks do this last Wednesday?
Basketball season, we had a fantastic game until about 18 seconds left in the game when a little disturbance occurred on the court, and the game ended up being called at that point. But we were competing with Macomb Community College, which was one of the top two teams in our league, and we competed the whole game, like I said, until the very end. So it was.
So they lost.
We did lose.
Yep. He didn't want to say lost.
We did.
They didn't have quite as many points as the other team. That's all that happened.
Not quite, but when you were playing a team 20-4, yeah, that's a pretty good battle they have. And,
well, speaking of battles, though, it's not normally physical. Well, it's not normally physical outside the rules of the game,
right.
And that was just players. Or some people from the stands.
Some people from the stands came down because they were upset with the foul call that happened.
And, well, that's just wrong.
It was very wrong, and then it escalated, and had to have local, the local security forces and some police had to come in too and break it up.
Well, that would have been quite a spectacle. See how much fun athletics can be, folks. It is obviously just wrong to interfere with the game. I guess it's always been legal to yell something from the stands, but whoever those people were that participated, even the players, if they got involved first, that's just wrong. That's not. Yep. That's not the whole spirit of sports, folks.
Normally they don't do that at all.
It's a spirit of war, folks, and we're not in favor of that here.
Usually compete very well, and basketball is a little unique because all the other sports have some separation between the playing field and the stands.
Right.
In basketball, if they want to jump right into the fray, unfortunately,
there in the bleachers.
Hard to stop them.
A couple feet away.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So.
Well, that's one reason to support big auditoriums and arenas with the people fenced off from the players, which is what they do in hockey. of course. Yep. Of course, they have to because they need the big walls because of the blocking.
The speed players, of the puck that's coming
and,
over.
And the speed of the puck, too. That's primarily to save people from a puck in the face. Yeah. Well, anyway, but that doesn't usually happen, folks. Don't come out.
No.
Don't avoid college athletics. It's very rare. I've actually never heard of that in my whole career here at 49 years at Henry Ford College.
That's a great record.
Formerly Henry Ford Community College. And so, of course, I haven't attended every game, but the word we get around if that happened, and that's really too bad. So where were you in all this?
I was sitting at the scorer's table with Sam, and we were calmly observing what was going on.
That's a spirit, yeah, sure. I thought maybe hiding under the table was necessary, but
we did try to ask the fans to go back to their seats, and they didn't listen to us too well. But on a lighter note, we had...
Well, got to be careful about the media, because they're just fake news, so...
I was very calm. I didn't want to get involved whatsoever.
No, of course not. No. That's right, yeah. And we actually had Dearborn police.
They did, yes, and they were outside when I left as well.
I don't doubt it.
Everything stayed, fairly calm after that. And the best part of it is we had a halftime show with the Hawkster, the new mascot.
New mascot, right.
And Sam playing the sax in the middle of the floor. So.
So it gave the Hawkster a little something to dance to.
You bet.
Did
some good dancing. And we only have two more home games left, one on Monday and March the 1st, Wednesday.
Okay. So, yeah. Well, that wraps that up. Thank you very much, John,
sure.
For our sports report. Alternative, not the same that you hear on any other station. That's the whole idea of WHFR and the new WHFR Journal. Getting back to the news of the day, oh my goodness, there's so many things here, and I don't know where to start. Let's see, for the sake of segue, there was the police thing. So where is it here? I know I saw it. Oh my goodness! Now I've lost it. There it is.
Okay.
We used to use newspapers. Well, I still got some newspapers, but it's old news,
Right.
So I may, if I'm desperate, we'll open a page of the news. But we just have printouts from the computer from the latest stories from the websites. Today, and this got to michiganradio.org. So this got on, actually a story on Michigan Radio from our friend of the station, Sarah Hewlett, who has been one of the reporters from Michigan Public Radio for decades. And she knows of us and met her at Dearborn Music one time, 20 years ago, but hope she's well. Anyway, so she probably has a special ear. Maybe she even lives still in Dearborn. I don't know, or has relatives here. But the story is the Dearborn police are concerned about recent activity by open carry activists. There's been a couple of stunts from open carry activists and a threat targeting Muslims. And Dearborn's police chief, Ron Haddad, is concerned. Over the weekend, that's last weekend, a group carrying guns marched down Schaefer Road in Dearborn, apparently in support of two armed men who were arrested earlier this month. That pair walked into the Dearborn police station carrying guns and wearing body armor. Now, again, folks, I do know a little about that. I don't think we mentioned it here on this show before. They did that not to attack the police station. They did that to make a point about open carry being legal.
Right.
But, of course, they were, confronted and told to drop their guns and checked out and probably briefly arrested even. Maybe even fingerprinted and photographed. I don't know. But they were released because state law says open carry, even if it's an AK-47 assault rifle in your hands, that open carry is legal in Michigan. Pretty much. There's some exceptions that are being adjudicated these days, like whether or not you can bring a gun into a open carry into a school building. Or a school board meeting. I know Ann Arbor School Board has a question about that. Anyway, Police Chief Ron Haddad said that he will ask the legislature, that's right, folks, our Michigan legislature, our do-everything legislature, to amend the state's open carry law. He says he's trained to uphold people's constitutional rights, but has a problem with armed people walking around the city just to get a reaction. And here's his quote. He says, I, for one, don't think that for a group of relatively strange people, I don't know what he means by that, to come into a city and get all armed up and walking down the street is a projection of your Second Amendment rights, but rather I think it's an intrusion on the safety of a good community. It is disruptive, I think, no doubt, to see people you don't know, that is not your relatives or your community members from your area of your neighborhood anyway, doing that sort of march with armed guns down the street. I would certainly call the cops on that, because who knows? Is it a military group, militia so-called, that's got a problem with somebody? Or isn't there, you know, I mean, who knows? It's just too many questions that come up for that kind of confrontation. Haddad also says that his department is investigating a threatening voicemail left at a mosque over last weekend. And he pledged to do everything he could to keep the community safe. That was actually an appearance he made at a meeting a few days ago, and I have the story somewhere else. But this, I thought, was interesting that it's actually covered statewide on Michigan Public Radio. And there's continuing a question about open carry in Michigan, whether or not that's an appropriate thing. I understand that Trump's administration and some of the federal legislators are saying that they want to pass open carry everywhere in the U.S. So it seems to be a priority of the Republicans. So that will be very confusing. They do have, I believe, open carry now. Which state is it, Arizona or Texas? And concealed carry, I think, requires a permit.
Yeah.
Because you don't know what that person is packing, you know, as they say. But if it's open carry, you obviously know they have a gun. But it seems to me if it's open carry, you also know that if you catch them by surprise and from behind or something, you can steal their gun, you know, and use it on them or something. So I think open carry is very problematic. I don't think it's really very safe. And I may have misstated or understated the Republicans in Congress. Maybe they're for concealed carry for everybody without a permit. That would even be more wide-ranging, but at least it wouldn't cause the immediate panic that open carry causes everybody.
I have to admit, open carry is, for me, is just, I'm just not used to it. I just feel a little bit disconcerted when I see people with guns out standing outside, you know, on their bodies, and just,
well, of course,
not quite used to that kind of thing.
Well, I understand, and even if everybody was carrying, I'd still be a little questioning why they feel the need for that, because, folks, I have to state again, and it's not fake news, is that there is not an increase in major crime in this country or anywhere else, you know, any specific community. Yes, Chicago has got a crime problem. Okay, they've got an extreme violence problem, but it's not an extremely unsafe city as a whole. But yes, they are the leader right now, but it's not, you know, murder capital, as they call Detroit once. There's not open violence in the streets all the time in Chicago. And so, you know, all the national statistics. Oh, okay, great. All the national statistics, just got a message, are great in terms of crime. So they're, the people who are immigrating here have to go through even the illegal ones. They found by statistics that they're not committing as many crimes as the people who live here, percentage-wise. Are they murderers? Are they rapists? Well, maybe that's some of their crimes, but they're not any more so murderers and rapists than the ones that are already living here. Okay, and what about illegals coming over? Well, 140,000 went the other direction last year. So, no, sum total, 140,000 left, and not because they were deported. They just were sick and tired of this country, I guess. And so all the statistics that are out there, the actual numbers, the actual counts, and our president has said, well, nobody really knows. It's anywhere from 5 to 30 million illegals because they're illegal. Nobody knows. There's ways of checking because many illegals living in this country actually pay taxes. You know, so they got to register their address and you know, and maybe their green card or maybe they're applying for citizenship, which takes years. So there's just not that fear and trembling is not the, it's a title of a philosophical piece by Soren Kierkegaard, I think. But nonetheless, other than that, it's not a thing. It's not happening. It should not be happening because of crime. Okay, but stuff is happening a little bit, and it's always amazing to me that the local papers they're so desperate for information, and they don't have any reporters to go out and dig up information on the real topics that matter to the vast majority of us. So they go to the police blotter, and the police blotter, somebody stole a toy from Toys R Us. I mean, it's the most small, minor, and it's a whole story on the website, if not in the paper. And there's several of those. It's just little things. Sometimes they're humorous because it is a stupid little crime. Somebody stole a pack of underwear from Walmart or wherever, you know, and maybe they need the underwear. So, yeah, I mean, it seems like petty crime. It is crime, though. But, you know, a story in the newspaper? Well, it's because they don't have any reporters that can actually go and dig up, because I have to dig them up because people don't want us to know. A lot of our elected representatives, no disrespect here, but they don't want to tell the full story about what's going on, because there's always a problem. They're trying to deal with it, but they're usually aware of it, and I'm trying to put that the best possible spin on that. So if they had day-to-day journalists who are reporting these things, there would be at least a larger discussion in the community about some of these problems that are trying to be solved, if they are at all, by our elected representatives. So that's my spin on that. And so even this, you know, the two guys come into the police station with guns. They didn't fire them. I don't know if it was loaded or not. They didn't intend to fire them. And here they get all this police coverage, you know, just, again, to make a point, I guess, about what the law is.
I don't know, Jay, with the underwear, it sounds like a cover-up to me.
Oh, maybe a necessary cover-up, you know. Okay. Moving on here. All righty. Let's see. Old news, a little older. Okay. A couple weeks ago, this came out on BBC.com about Ford Motor Company. So BBC.com, British Broadcasting Corporation, of course, they have a website, they do news, and I do think that the BBC news operation is the best in the world. I mean, in terms of worldwide coverage of news in all the countries, and the most objective and factual, BBC.com is the place to go. So they don't usually talk about anything that has to do with Dearborn. Of course, they talk frequently about frequently their headline story each day on their news summary on that website is about the U.S., but that's just because we're a big deal or always causing a problem of some sort for the world. So there's the story. Well, this talks about Ford Motor Company, and they pledged, and this is from February 13th. That's Monday of this week, right? No, last week.
Last week.
Last week, right. Right, day before Valentine's Day. Ford Motor Company has pledged $1 billion to create an artificial intelligence startup. Car giant Ford has announced it's investing $1 billion, which is, in case you're wondering, 800 million pounds, in case you live in England, ooh, pound, 800 million pounds, over the next 5 years in artificial intelligence, and their company that they've set up is going to be called Argo, A-R-G-O. Mm. So we'll be waiting to find out more from Argo when it gets ready to take over the world.
Interesting takeoff on the, because that was a movie, Argo, not too long ago.
Yeah, it had some... Well, I think, wasn't it a Greek mythology character or some sort? I'm sure there's a connection there. Anyway, Ford intends to have an autonomous vehicle ready to launch in 2021, and they have to have some sort of computer memory that's capable of pulling that off. Okay, so Argo is what they've... And it's only $1 billion they've invested. Argo was founded by CEO Brian Selesky and Chief Operating Officer Peter Rander, who led self-driving car teams at Google and Uber, respectively. The investment makes Ford the firm's majority stakeholder. So it's an investment, and the company must be worth more than $1 billion. And that's fantastic, I guess. How many jobs? How many jobs? Well, you see, the company, I guess, already existed, Argo, and they got all the people they need, perhaps, although with Ford's investment, too, they'd probably hire a few more. But Ford has two autonomous vehicles currently licensed for testing in California, but a recent report revealed that they only covered 590 miles in 2016. A human driver had to take control twice, to abort, that is, stop lane changes, because that wasn't appropriate, I guess, at the time. In the same period, BMW reported 638 miles for their cars that had some kind of artificial intelligence and only one disengagement. So Ford had three disengagements and only 590 miles. So BMW is doing a little better there with their autonomous control system. And Google, get this, Google has logged in California, where they keep records of this, 636,000 miles with driverless cars.
Wow.
636,000 miles and 124 disengagements. So they're doing a lot better also with their AI. Other U.S. states do not require car manufacturers to report these figures. You know, a couple months ago, we told you here, and you probably heard elsewhere, that Governor Snyder has signed a bill authorizing driverless cars on Michigan highways.
Right. Yep.
Period. I don't even know if they're asking for such reports about how they're doing, how many crashes, how many so-called disengagements. In other words, it's not totally without people. They have people in the car in case something goes awry. The people can switch back and take over the steering column.
But at least they hope to, yes.
Well, they hope to, yeah. Yes. But, you know, does Michigan have that reporting requirement? That's something to find out, because I think they should.
Well, of course. And of they're going to be building those AI cars at my old plant, which used to make transmissions, and now it's going to be built to make
and they're probably being built with automation too, robots, and so.
They'll have a lot of I'm sure there'll be a lot of automation there.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of people retired I think soon.
Yes.
Again, even the story didn't point out Ford invested $1 billion, but how many extra jobs for real humans at this point even? Mm-hmm. I assume that Argo will hire a few more people with that influx of money.
Oh, yeah. Got to believe that, sure.
Yep, okay. We got a lot of activities and cultural things coming up. I know I'm off mic, as they say, but I'm still got a couple stories here, so let's see where we go. Ah, yes. You know, last week I announced that, in fact, candidates are coming out of the woodwork here for different positions. Last week I mentioned that Regan Ford, who's been on this program as a political commenter and social commenter. And he's running for Dearborn City Council, and the election is in November of this year, when all of our council members and major city government positions like the mayor, city clerk, are going to be in competition. I mean, there's going to be a competition for who's going to win the election. But as reported in the Arab American News today, three candidates have thrown their hats in the ring for mayor. Okay, and they are Hakeem Fakhouri, who is a local business developer. I have to say that his record in developing projects in West Dearborn didn't work out the way he had hoped. And in fact, City Council had to finally take away his option on some of the property in one way or the other there. And it was more than a dozen years that his development projects didn't totally work out. So I don't know what kind of a record he's going to be running on. He knows how to develop business because he's failed so many times. I'm sorry, he didn't fail. Mr. Fakhouri, I'm exaggerating. But I do know that City Council and the mayor have not looked favorably upon your efforts, because they just didn't work out the way the city wanted. So perhaps he's running as sort of a tit for tat. Can I say that on the air? I think I can.
I just want to say this is a good time to say views expressed by we hosts are not necessarily the views and opinions of WHFR and HFC.
Yes, and they may even be satirical, so that raises question about what I really mean, too. Another person running is financial planner Jim Pirelli. He actually has a quote here. "We have all watched for too long as outdated leadership has held office for decades, fractured our city, and simply watched as Dearborn has been maligned in the national media. Fresh leadership and new perspectives is what we need now." And I hate to draw a factual criticism here, but other than, yes, we've had Mayor O'Reilly and many council members for a good number of years. It's always been that way in the city of Dearborn. I mean, look at Mayor Hubbard, how long he was there. And mostly, he got reelected. He wasn't term limited, so the people of Dearborn reelected him, just like they have John B. O'Reilly Jr. and the mayors before him. Anyway, fractured our city. I live in Dearborn. I don't see a fracture. I see us more together now than 20 years ago. Working as groups with great solidarity. I don't know. And of course, all these candidates who are new to running for this office. We will invite later when we get closer to the election. We'll find out how many there's going to be.
Yeah.
Okay. On this show, because there's a lot of questions. I have invited Mr. And he's the last person. President, City Council President Pro Tem. That it means he's number two, I think, in taking over for the mayor. And he officiates. He was head of the City Council, President of City Council, but not this last time around. So he got the number two highest votes. So he's running also for mayor. So Hakeem Fakhoury, Jim Pirelli, and Thomas Tefelsky. We'll ask, you know, the details. I mean, candidates can give us all those kinds of generalities, but what do they really mean? What are they talking about? And, in fact,
why are they running?
Yeah, to say that the Mayor O'Reilly has been only watching as Dearborn has been maligned in the national media, he's responded every time something has come up. I've heard him. I've seen him.
He's a man of action. He's been at those events.
What are you going to do if various red state groups, did I say red state, around the country keep referring to Dearborn as under Sharia law, which it is not. He keeps denying it. Is he supposed to travel to all these communities throughout the U.S. And all their leaders and try to convince them? Because a lot of these people, they don't believe facts, you know. I mean, you know, you could tell them there's no Sharia law in Dearborn. We don't follow that. We follow the U.S. laws. And they just won't believe it because they heard it somewhere.
The perception.
On Facebook or you know, Breitbart Media. Or did I say that? I don't know. Somewhere, you know, they heard it and they got to believe it because they heard it. Well, if you don't trust so-called liberal media, you shouldn't trust conservative media either. And don't trust us either. But I'm trying to get you to think through issues and raise questions. I raise questions for you to do additional research and to answer, and always get several verified sources before you know, in your head, their perspectives, their points of view, before you make a decision on anything. But good, election season is off and running. Of course, after I read the story, there's no mention if there's going to be a primary to, you know, reduce the mayoral candidates in November to only two. I'm not sure we do that, you know, for local elections. I thought we did, but maybe we don't. So there's no mention here whether or not that's going to happen. And I do think if you have three more people, and it does say here that unofficial reports say that Mayor Jack O'Reilly will seek another term, but he hasn't officially announced yet. Nonetheless, with four candidates running, he's still going to win. I'm sorry. I mean, they're just not going to take away his lead. Now, if there was a strong and vocal single candidate, it may be one of the three. I'm not going to suppose here because I'm not going to recommend who's the strongest candidate to you if you haven't already decided. I think there might be a chance, but it would take a heck of a campaign because Mayor O'Reilly, I think on the last vote, of course, he had a candidate who did not have a major name, but he got 80% of the vote, at least close to 80% anyway, I remember. And so he's going to be very hard to deny here. But the election is off and running. Just wanted to keep you up to date on that. And again, WHFR will give everyone a full 30-minute interview, depending on how many names are out there, either before the primary, if there is one, and certainly before the November election. Now, it's not an election thing, but we do it every year. Just mentioning that Mayor O'Reilly will be here for questions from yours truly and John on our March 24th edition of the new WHFR Journal from 1 to 2 o'clock. And if you've already listened to our show from last week, or you could catch it on the podcast, it puts together all five of the audio portions of his video presentations for you, and you can just listen in that hour and get it straight through. And of course, if you're not distracted by the pictures, you can make notes, and I think maybe even listen more closely to the actual words, and then questions will pop up. And please send me an email if you have questions for the mayor to whfr@hfcc.edu. That's our email address for all comments and questions, whfr@hfcc.edu, and maybe put in the subject heading questions for the mayor. Okay, and I will collect those. And if it isn't something I already thought of, then I will toss it on my list, and we'll try to get them in. We usually have a list of questions that goes way beyond what we have time for, but he's expecting to spend the whole hour with us this time, and I think there's a lot of things he wanted to mention about that. Just one thing I remember from last week, and I mentioned to a couple residents, and they were so happy to hear, just one little detail, one little administrative detail, is that the trash recycling, which is now only once every 2 weeks picked up in front of the houses in Dearborn in a special recycling bin, it will now be changed sometime in July to every week.
Oh.
So you can put out that recycling bin or the regular trash bin every week if you want to, or one week and one the next. You don't have to keep on your calendar which is the week for the recycling bin. So as soon as it gets filled up or smelly or whatever, you can put it out there every week sometime in July. And that was a little detail. I couldn't believe that several residents, I mentioned this, said, oh, thank you very much. Oh, this is just what we needed. So they must have a lot to recycle, I guess.
Well, not only that, but it cuts down the amount of critters that show up when it's left out for more than a few days.
Because
at a time.
That recycling stuff, it can have, you're not supposed to put organic waste in there, but it does have, you know, the cans. Unless you put them in a dishwasher first, some of the food cans will have a residue of food in there, and that can attract rodents. Although the big trash barrels are pretty big, tall, thick. They don't usually top over, and so you're not going to get too much animal activity from those bins. I keep mine in my garage. Some people aren't able to do that, so that protects them even more. But yes, the regular trash barrel, again, everything that goes in that has to be in bags. And of course, that's things that can't be recycled, and it's not supposed to be food either. It can be food, but that's all in separate plastic bags inside the trash barrel. So, but we could always put that out every week. And that would have some, you know, if you're chopping vegetable or something and the tips or the ends or the rotten parts you want to throw away, you put them in your trash, not in the recycled bin, of course. But that, again, the trash bag in your house, you seal that, and then you put it in the big trash barrel. That's the process.
That's the theory sometimes. And
I hope so.
That's why I think it's a great idea that they're increasing the frequency to pick them up.
Mm-hmm. Okay. We were mentioning politics, and this week, as reported by the Arab American News, both Dearborn City Council and Dearborn Heights City Council have approved resolutions opposing the travel ban as a modified version of the travel ban that Trump has come up with to try to avoid the federal judges. But in any event, both cities have passed a resolution opposing President Trump's, quote, unjustifiable executive order, unquote. And that happened in Dearborn. It first happened in Dearborn Heights. They beat us to the punch here, so to speak, on Tuesday, February 7th at the Dearborn Heights City Council meeting. Five members did vote for it, but Councilman Joe Kaczynski and Councilman Marge Horvath voted against it. We don't know exactly why. It's just emblematic or symbolic of the wishes of the city as voiced by the representatives. It has no legal power. I do know that some politicians, because they don't want to get into anything too controversial, some politicians at local level even, they don't want to be criticized one way or the other. Oh, you voted for against the president's travel ban, you voted for it. They just want to be judged on local issues.
Yeah.
So they don't want to bring up these things, especially if they can't really accomplish anything directly by it. I think indirectly, it is sending a message.
Oh, yeah.
As far as it's reported, it is sending a message. So, 5-2. In Dearborn, it happened Wednesday, February 15th. The city council passed. Notice how long it took the story to appear. This was on the website of Arab American News last Friday, but it was during our show, so that's why I didn't get the story and didn't repeat it to you over the air. But I'm just saying it took 2 days to even get on their website. They must have had a reporter there, God bless them, in Dearborn to even take notes on this. And the resolution in Dearborn was introduced by Mike Cerini on the Councilman Mike Cerini. His resolution resists the order of Trump that was signed on January 27th, which bans citizens from seven Muslim-majority countries from entering the U.S. and also bars Syrian refugees indefinitely. Okay. And a lot of people in at the meeting did commend Cerini and the consul for that action. What's interesting is at the end of the story, however, Cerini told the Arab American News that some people might think the resolution is just emblematic. His quote actually uses the word symbolic. He says, "I think that symbolic goes a long way, specifically in the fact," understand this, folks, in the fact that 6 months prior to this, I was unable to successfully pass a welcoming resolution. So it means something within the city council that their point of view has changed a little bit, that they can take a step towards being against what the president did. But Cerini actually wanted a welcoming resolution, which would say, I don't know, it's just refugees or all immigrants, welcome to Dearborn. Again, they can't just come in, folks. I think I said this earlier, just crossing the border and, you know, renting an apartment or something. They can't do that. That is against the law, and that doesn't happen. Even refugees, in the vetting that was used even before Trump got there, it takes almost 20 months, almost 2 years, before they can even get in the country. Wow. And so they are thoroughly reviewed and talked to and licensed and whatever it takes. You know, they probably don't get a computer chip implanted in them, but that's the next thing I expect, just like our pets from the animal shelters get. You know, they can keep track of wherever they go and just by putting a device over the back of their neck, you know, and their number pops up. And yeah, that would be terrible. Just like, oh, the Republicans in Congress, though, one of them has introduced a bill, this is in U.S. Congress, to require identity IDs cards for everybody in the U.S., so everybody that's here has to have a national identity card. And then some people are proposing, why not just a chip like in the wrist or something? So, you know, you don't have to worry about carrying it with you or leaving it home or something. Well, that's just crazy. It's definitely overreach. And is it needed? Absolutely not. However, France, everybody knows France, and some people don't like it. I personally really like France, and I've traveled there and lived there for a few months. They have a national ID card law. Yeah. Okay. So everybody there has to have that card, and whether you check into a hotel or whatever, almost every transaction you have to show your national ID card. But it's a small country that in a very diverse situation with a lot of other nationalities all around them. And so to keep track of who's a French citizen, who isn't, I almost understand that, but it is approaching a totalitarian police state in that way, in terms of that issue. And I don't think we want that in this country. There's no evidence that we need that. Well, I think it's a good idea. What is the evidence that we need that? Okay, where does it say we actually, if we don't need any other intrusions upon our freedom and our privacy, then we should not do it. That's yours truly, point of view. Yep. John said it's not necessarily anybody else's, but if you're really outraged by something I said or just this issue, start talking about it among yourself. Do your own research and take a stand to one of your elected representatives. But anyway, both of the city councils, starting with Dearborn Heights first, they beat us to the punch. Yep. They are against that travel ban from January 27th.
Okay. All right. One more story, John, then we get to run through
all the events. Yeah, oh, my gosh.
Maybe ask me one thing,
sure.
Jay.
Go ahead.
I hadn't been here the last couple weeks, and I wondered if anything else had come up as a result of that meeting regarding HFC as a sanctuary college. Had you heard anything else about
that? I haven't heard anything. There's not been no stories about it. Okay. My sense, because some of the statements by our president, Stan Jensen, and others in his administrative group has been that they don't really think there's a need because we're already doing a lot of things that are protective and welcoming and so on, and that was brought up at the first meeting. But it's up to the Board of Trustees here to do that. Yep. There's obviously the expressed threat at the top federal level, that anybody that uses that heading as a sanctuary will be subject to federal government recriminations, like taking away funding or something. That is just a threat. That's just maybe only in a tweet, in fact. How official is that? But it does scare some of the people as to whether or not they want to be in that category of sanctuary areas. Now, there are several. You said, well, I have never heard of sanctuary colleges elsewhere. Well, I have been reading, and there's at least a dozen or more major colleges and universities, four-year institutions around the country, and maybe some two-year institutions like us that have claimed that, and cities like New York City, for example. And all it means, folks, is it's not like we're giving the churches over to free housing for people that come in illegally or something. No. All it means is that if someone commits a crime in that area and the local police arrest them for that crime and prosecute them and so on as needed. If it's found that they're illegal aliens, they will not take the initiative to turn them over to ICE. Mm-hmm. And that stands for immigration something. Anyway, ICE stands for something. I think it's the immigration people. Mm-hmm. Anyway, that's all it means, is that you find them, you deport them. But we're not going to help with that.
No.
That's your job, and in a way, it's not our local job. And also, there's so many issues that are involved there. One of the things the national administration is trying to do, and I heard this on Democracy Now! Right before this show. See how much information I get from that? I even listened to it myself.
That's a good show.
Is that they're hoping to deport an awful lot of people very fast. The bad dudes, you've heard about them. It's a singing group, I think, the Bad Dudes. Anyway, they want to, according to the latest tweet from the top, top tweets? The top tweets of the day are to deport immediately all the bad dudes. Well, of course, they might be bad if they've been arrested for something, and then the local police have discovered that they're illegal. And however, the rule of law right now is they have to go through a special hearing and a special series of immigration judges. There's a whole group of judges in the U.S. who do nothing but immigration cases, because I think everybody is due a day in court to decide what is the actual, do they need to be deported, what's the circumstances of that a situation exactly. Do they have family here? Do they have, how long have they been here? They might be illegal, but maybe they've been here for 30 years paying taxes and with all the kids in college now or something. And I do think that if there is justice, you have to tailor it to the individuals. And that's the nature of our court system so far. So you can't just grab these people because they had some crime that they're supposedly committed and take them out of the country in buses. Mexico doesn't want that, by the way. They said they're going to turn them away if we try to send over people that way. But there's not enough judges in this immigration judgeship to handle it. So if you want to speed up the process, I mean, they're overloaded now. They got like 3,000 judges, 3,000 immigrants per judge, cases scheduled that they have to hear. And so they're going to have like thousands of new judges in place for them to meet, and all the documents and supporting people and secretaries and, I don't know, computers and so on. And so if you're going to be fair about it at all, you got a huge amount of money you got to put up front for more of these immigration judges. And so it's a mess.
The infrastructure is not there yet.
Well, no. If that's the way you want to do it, I personally think, and our some of our very forward-thinking senators, like even John McCain, came up with an immigration plan to redo our whole immigration system to make it more fair, and also to get people in the country illegally that into a process that could take 5 years or more to become citizens, because they already have proven themselves to be responsible, not criminals, with a family, a job, and so on. And yes, they're already here, but to deport, whether it's 10 million or 30 million in the worst tweet that the president ever sent, illegal, they shouldn't all be sent back. If they're already here, that's They should be part of that system. And was it McCain and Kennedy? It was McCain and someone else that had this immigration bill, sort of a bipartisan. Imagine Democrats and Republicans agreeing, but they couldn't get it passed.
No.
It was before Obama got there, I think, but they just couldn't get it passed under Bush. And it would have cleaned up a lot of the mess in our immigration system given very fair treatment to those already here, even if they were here illegally. And is that amnesty? No, they're going to put them through 5 years of quite a lot of paperwork and quite a lot of learning. Can you speak English? You know, and do you know the laws? You know, most immigrants know the laws better than the citizens.
Yes. Yeah.
So we'll see where that goes. Real quick here. Okay, with about 17 minutes before Kitty Love and Highway 61 with the Best in the Blues coming up from 2 to 4 today. Chatting with the superintendent, an informal opportunity for a conversation with the superintendent of Dearborn Public Schools, Dr. Glenn Maliko. There's a number of meetings, coffee, it's called, with the superintendent. Not coffee and driving cars. That's a Jerry Seinfeld thing. But coffee with the superintendent. Now, it's only, there's different groups at different times, starting March 6th and going through May 9th. It's staff, sometimes. So staff of the schools can meet directly with the superintendent and talk. Oh, my goodness. And I guess they provide coffee for free, although it doesn't say here the coffee's free. Hmm. And parents, it alternates between parents and staff. So why not go right to the top? I was thinking of having superintendent back in here. I know we had him here for a whole show last year. And I think maybe sometime after May 9th, after he hears directly from the parents and the staff, that we try to get the word of what were the top things that were mentioned. Although some of the staff may just be bringing up things that are sort of in the, you know, outside of public purview, but just necessary for the daily functioning and maybe doesn't need to be shared. But good for them. It's the first time I've known that they've actually set up chances for direct conversational, informal meetings with Superintendent Maliko. And it does say it's open to all parents and community members, even if your child attends a school that is not hosting the event, because they're going to be at Fortson and also Fortson High School and Miller Elementary, Hague Elementary, and Salina, or is that Salina, Intermediate. I think it's Salina.
Salina, but yeah. they'll be at those schools at mm-hmm. The same time.
Back and forth. No, yep. It's depends on the day.
Okay.
So look on City of Dearborn Public Schools would be dearbornschools.org.
Okay.
For more information.
And that's we got some time yet for that May 6th.
Yeah, May 6th it starts, and then there's something March 6th, excuse me.
Oh.
And then there's March 6th and 7th, and two on March 30th. Two on April 27th, and then two on May 9th. Parents on one time and the staff at another time. So, but a nice idea.
Yep.
Thank you, Superintendent, for that. A couple things happening in Lansing. A Republican has proposed that the age limit on Michigan judges, you know, we had Judge Hultgren retire because he was age limited age 70. But we're one of only 18 states, according to the MichiganRadio.org story today, that has such a mandatory retirement at age of 70. Ours was, and where is it? It's actually in our Michigan Constitution. It's not just a little law passed by the legislature. In the Constitution, for gosh sakes. So it's going to take a huge two-thirds majority, House and Senate and the governor, to get rid of that. Only 16 states have no mandatory retirement age for judges. So I don't know about those in between. Michigan is one of 18 with a mandatory retirement, and 16 have no mandatory. So what do the others have? I don't know.
Somewhere in the middle.
It can't be less than 70. That wouldn't be very fair. More? Mandatory retirement at 80 or 90 or 100? I don't know. We'll see where that goes. That's already been talked about in a hearing this week before the House Judiciary Committee in Lansing. We'll see if that changes. Apparently, the problem is that 94 incumbent judges in Michigan will be ineligible to run for re-election when their current terms expire, whether it's this year or next year or the year after, because of that constitutional restriction. So we are losing people that have a lot of experience. For whatever reason. But we're keeping the young judges out of a job. So... Okay. There is a community meeting next Thursday, March 2nd, between 5 and 7:30 p.m. down in Taylor at Wayne County Community College Taylor. That's on North Line Road in Taylor, for the final chance for the public to comment on the new Metro Airport Master Plan. However, they say they're not going to be extending any runways. But why did they need the, well, I guess it's just the law. And so, if, especially if you live near the airport, you might want to go to that session and see what's up. I assume somewhere, there must be a Metro Airport website that has their master plan for the future on it that you could read in advance. But I don't know.
It's more of a concern about noise that comes in.
I think
those
always, yeah.
And what time was that?
5 to 7:30 p.m.
5 to 7:30. Okay.
At Wayne County Community College, Taylor Campus, North Line Road. Okay. Okay. Well, this is a little different, so I want to read this, and we'll get into entertainment news. You say you want to know more about the Green Party, and maybe even if you live in Wayne County, you want to find out more by going to a meeting. Well, they're starting a meeting, and it's very local for a Wayne County Green Party. So if you're interested in running for office, finding out more about Green Party in general, working on a local campaign, recruiting new members, if you have ideas for local actions, do you know of an important issue in your community that isn't getting the press it needs? Well, you need to come to the meeting, and it's going to be this coming Monday, February 27th at 7 p.m. at Ollie's Restaurant in Dearborn here. Now, that's just off of Ford Road. And is that some sort of shopping center? Meadow Lane? Meadowbrook, there's nobody knows about it. Kitty Love would know, but she's too busy. She doesn't shop. Okay, there you go. So Ollie's Restaurant, it's a Middle Eastern restaurant. I've eaten there several times in the shopping center that's very close to Ford Road and not too far from Greenfield. Okay, so it's on the south side there in the shopping center. If you know where Olive Garden is in Dearborn, it's just further back from that. It's Ollie's Restaurant, and that's where the Wayne County Green Party is going to start meeting and maybe meeting locally. They do suggest that you could, just so you know how many people are coming, to RSVP on the Facebook link below, and that is, that's not good. Okay, well, you can like their page. It's probably on that, facebook.com/WayneCountyGreens. Wayne County Greens, that's their Facebook page. But I assume they wouldn't mind if you just drop by and see what's going to happen. I mean, you know, if you're frustrated by Democrats or Republicans, say you want something else, well, there is a Green Party. There's also a Libertarian Party, and we'll mention their times, too. I don't have one in front of me for this coming month, but they meet locally and talk every month, too. So that's the way to get involved. You know, never find out about when the Democratic Party and the Republican parties meet.
Oh.
It's a secret. It's a secret. They don't want the public to find out and come and join them. Isn't that amazing?
I think one Democratic office is on Telegraph Road, just on the border of Southgate and Taylor. You know.
Okay, we're doing events now. Next Wednesday, March 1st, 6 to 8 p.m. here at Henry Ford College, the Mazzara Administrative Conference Center in the big auditorium. It's named Forfa Auditorium. It's inside the building right off of Evergreen Road here, main campus of the college. They're having a big two-hour presentation about how to stop the nuclear arms race, and they're talking about the Universal Declaration on Disarmament. So it's a lot of local peace groups as well as a couple of college, it's overseen by some of our political science teachers here from Henry Ford College. It's certainly also recommended your attendance at this by the League of Women Voters, Dearborn Heights. So keep that in mind. If you have the time, it is free and open to everybody. 6 to 8 p.m. is coming Wednesday, March 1st at Henry Ford College, main campus, Evergreen Road, Mazzara Conference Center. And you can't, once you go in there, it's free parking nearby, but you can't miss the main auditorium. It's the Stop the Nuclear Arms Race, Universal Declaration on Disarmament.
Okay.
Tonight at Arab American National Museum, you know, they have what they call Global Fridays about every month or so. Their winter or spring, if you will, series of great music that you've never heard anywhere else in Detroit. World famous performers. And don't worry if you've never heard of them before. Just, you know, attend. You know, open your mind and your ears. Tonight at 8 p.m., it's a performance by Sakane, And that's a project of Sudanese American artist Ahmed Abdulli Ghalib, who has been leading a large and lively Afro-pop style band in Brooklyn for almost a decade. Ghalib, or Ghalib, has created an altogether unique compound of sounds, stylistically nostalgic and ultra-modern at the same time. So Sinkane tonight at the Arab American National Museum. He's starting a world, the group is starting a world tour, and February 10th is the release of their new album, Life and Living. And so I hope we get a copy of it here at the college to play in our world shows. So there is a charge for that. And I don't see where that is in this particular press release. It looks like if you're a member of the Arab American National Museum and a supporter that way, then you get in free. But otherwise, it's $15 admission per general public. These are fantastic performances. I know that Joanne Kruczynska, who was our blues DJ here for 25 years before she passed away early last year, she always made a point of trying to attend.
Yep.
In addition to all the blues things going on, because the music was so fantastic and so stunning and so different, but also so well performed, just like Concert of Colors in downtown Detroit that we I've been a part of for many years here at WHFR. Okay, so
I've been to a number of those performances, and we also interviewed the gentleman from that museum on our show.
The executive director, sure.
Character, yep.
Mm-hmm. I skipped this. Darn it. So another thing in Lansing is that a Democratic legislator from Clinton Township, he's introduced a bill requiring mandatory full-day kindergarten. State law currently does not require education until age 6. And he says it's very important that children go to kindergarten and prepare students to succeed in the first grade and beyond by introducing a lot of subjects, preparing them to be good readers, and developing their interpersonal and social skills. I agree. I'm all for kindergarten. I was introduced to kindergarten, and I went through that myself. Did you do kindergarten, John?
I definitely went through kindergarten.
There you go. Yep. Full-time?
Full-time.
There you go. And no, I think it did introduce school and some basic concepts that does give you a head start into first grade.
It helps, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we'll see where that goes. But, he's a Democrat, so probably unless you can get bipartisan support on that. Because obviously it will cost the schools more money because they have to hire more teachers, whether they're doing half days now only or maybe not at all. So are there some schools that don't do kindergarten at all? Maybe. Some poor, very poor districts. So we'll see where that goes. Okay, we do know Joe's Top Dog tonight. That's in East Dearborn. That's free. That's why we mention it, even though it's a commercial undertaking, whereas Arab American National Museum is a nonprofit, just so you know.
That's right.
That's why we mention there and recommend them too so much. It's April Tinney, I believe, T-I-N-I, and Dennis Tinney. She's the vocalist, and he's on piano, along with the Rich Michael Trio, and it starts...
6:30,
says John, to get a seat anyway.
If you want to get a seat, yeah.
Yeah, the flyer says 7 to 10, but I agree, that's a small venue, so...
Husband and wife combination, very, very fine.
Get there early, yep. Okay, and what else we got, John?
I just want to mention this is the end of Black History Month. February is Black History Month, and Tuesday, February 28th, there'll be a business forum at the college here from 12:30 to 2 at the Rosenau Building L, a panel discussion of entrepreneurs and the steps to start a business. This is co-sponsored by the African American Association Diversity Club and the Office of Student Activities. And along with that, there is a program on Thursday, March 2nd, devoted to self-defense, also sponsored by the Campus Safety Community Service Club and the Office of Student Activities. Don't be a victim, fight back. Thursday, March 2nd, 2:30 to 4:30 at the ASCC Rosenau Room at the L Building.
Yeah, there's quite a few, events that are totally open to the public and totally appropriate for everybody to attend, that are usually free. We mentioned the disarmament conference coming up next Wednesday on campus, and you can check that out by going to hfcc.edu, and it's all listed there, you know, the events of the week, and not just academic issues. So we'll try to keep you informed, and we do have various announcements regularly at WHFR, actually twice per hour, talking about Henry Ford College issues. Just got about 2 minutes left. Just a comment here, which I don't usually share because it's usually very one-sided. It's the it's from the Michigan Capital Confidential, which is the conservative think tank part of the Mackinac or Mackinac Center for Public Policy. I always think conservative think tank is an oxymoron. Well, even a liberal think tank would be an oxymoron, because if you already know the bias you're going to have at the outset, is that really fully thinking about an issue? If you already have got predisposition and you're not going to accept any thoughts that take you away from that, then I don't call that really thinking. It's not very, well, anyway. But they came up with this point, and it's certainly true, a pension study about state pension funds, that is for schools specifically. It seems that there's a $26.7 billion deficit in paying teachers' pensions. And I'm worried about that because I'm on a pension right now. Right. So I don't want them to run out of money before it's too late for me. And my daughter is going to be a teacher on a pension in 10 or 20 years. And so we're very concerned about that. And it seems that the legislature, for the seventh year in a row, and this is reported by conservatives, folks, at the Mackinac Center, state officials did not make even the least minimum payment that the state's own accountants say is needed to start filling up this debt, to start paying off this debt. And in fact, I just saw a story today, real quick, mentioned that Mayor Duggan of Detroit, when he took over as mayor, there was the emergency manager for the state. And that emergency manager for the state, when he left, didn't tell Mayor Duggan that, oh, yeah, the city is on track to pay its bills now. You know, there was a bailout and so on. Yeah, except for the pension plan for all the former employees of the city of Detroit and future employees. And they've got a huge debt, which is, I don't know. But Duggan is now up front saying, we think we can handle this slowly over the years. We can start paying back. But nobody told him. And he's running for mayor. And even when he comes in mayor, even the state of Michigan's own elected person forgot to tell him that, oh, yeah, there's this pension out here that's in deep doo-doo that we didn't even consider in the bailout. And he didn't even tell him that. He had discovered himself. And so now that's the biggest issue on his plans for the future. They got to find a way to start paying it back. And our legislature doesn't even want to continue funding, I guess, to pay back the debt and therefore the crisis in that pension fund. So that's, we'll keep you tabbed on that. Got to go.
Yep.
The blues are happening, and they're going to be coming together in just a second here. Final thoughts, John?
No, thank you, Jay, and everyone have a safe day. It's a beautiful, it's warm outside. Get outside and enjoy it.
Absolutely. Enjoy it before a storm comes tonight. Never know. Enjoy it while you can. Take care for now. This is WHFR Dearborn, and be careful out there. See you next week.